Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dusty Staub is here, too. Dusty's become a great member of our Brain Trust. He's an executive coach, and he's a prolific writer. He's written 5 books on leadership, including The Heart of Leadership. And he's our good friend, Dusty Staub. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back on.
It's good to have you back. So you've been talking a lot lately about why leaders fail. That's a broad topic. That's a multifaceted answer. And oftentimes whenever I'm trying to think of something, whenever I'm contemplating an idea or an issue or whatever, I try to break things down to the simplest elements, and I try to get to what I call the headwaters, the kernel, the original seed of whatever it is that we're talking about. And I believe that if you're gonna be a leader, you got to believe in something that you want to lead, and that's with everybody. But I really think the first thing that a leader has to have is courage. And you talk about that a lot. I completely agree with you on that. Tell us about what you mean by that.
Well, by courage, it's really simple. I think the number one reason why leaders fail is it's a lack of nerve. It really is. They're missing one or more of the primary acts of courage. And now courage is a huge, huge topic. So I broke it down into distinct acts because I see some people with one form of courage, but they lack another. And so when we work with organizations or executives, whether we're working with teams or organization development or with coaching, we're really looking at where they have their greatest strengths, but also which act or acts they've least developed, because that's their Achilles heel. And that's their vulnerable spot. That's what will cause them to limp or even fail as a leader if they don't address it.
Well, and when you talk about the acts of courage, 2 of the 3 of them are about confrontation. Now, when you say, you know, we typically don't think of a leader from a courage standpoint, and that person being confrontational. But basically, I think what you mean there is what you're talking about is the courage of your convictions, right? Isn't that? I mean, if I've got courage, if I'm a leader and I've got courage, I'm prepared to stand up for my courage, which means I'm prepared to confront you, and I'm prepared to defend my ideas, if you want to confront me. And some leaders, I've seen leaders fold up whenever they're around confrontation. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, for example, I've been doing this for 3 decades, and I've now worked with more than 20,000 executives. And you'd be amazed and how many of them got in trouble or failed or had setbacks in their career because they lacked the courage to confront either their boss, a peer, or a key subordinate. A lot of people, when they get angry and then they dump on somebody, that's not the courage to confront. That's when your emotions get control of you. Your limbic system takes over your cerebral cortex.
Right.
And what we really talk about is the courage to see there's an issue, see you got something you got to do, you're not angry, and you need to have this conversation. So you face into it, you do what you don't want to do, you have the tough conversation, you maybe shake the relationship, but you do it for the greater good of the individual and for the goal, the purpose of the team. And that takes real courage to do that. That's the courage to confront.
Well, I like that. I really like that because some people have a hard time with that. And I have to say, I'd like to point something out here. One of the things that I think that I see, and I'm only bringing this up out of affection, The millennial generation is a generation I've studied quite a bit, off the air and on the air. And it's a very important generation. It's the largest one in the history of our nation. And I employ them. I talk about the fact that I think they're probably the best humans we've ever raised. They're the most unpretentious generation I've ever been around. But there's one thing that I think is a little bit of their Achilles heel. They are short on on the ability to deal with confrontation. They really don't like that very much. And if you're saying that if you're going to be a leader, you have to be courageous, and part of being courageous is being willing to be confronted and to confront, then I would like to encourage millennials to think about that a little bit. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think that, you know, it's hard. You don't want to shake up a friendship. You don't want to shake up a relationship. Things are going okay. This person is doing not so great. Yeah, you're gonna let it slide. Well, when you do that, it's death by inches or death by a thousand cuts. You end up really off the rails. And so facing into the conversation, being willing to have a tough conversation. And by the way, you mentioned this, another act of courage, which is the courage to be confronted.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to be willing to dish it out respectfully when you're not angry. You need to listen to it respectfully, even if the other person can't deliver it quite respectfully,
right,
because they haven't quite learned how to do it themselves. And when you model it, then you can expect it from other people. But if you're not willing to show people how to listen non-defensively to corrective feedback, to input, observation, then you have really no moral authority to dish it out.
And I'll tell you something. If you want people to follow you, you will have to demonstrate courage. If people aren't following you, if you're wondering why people aren't following you, you need to check your position on courage. Another one that you talk about is the courage to learn and to grow. A friend of mine said something one time that I always say that it was from a friend of mine, although I want to claim this myself. And he said, be willing to risk what you know for what you might learn. Isn't that beautiful? Be willing to risk what you know. Have the courage, as you would say it, Dusty, have the courage to risk what you know for what you might learn. Last thoughts.
Well, yeah, you know, the great romantic poet William Blake, the visionary poet, he said the ratio of what is known will not be the same as we explore and learn more. And Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem at the same level at which it's created. You must step to a higher order of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of that has to do with the willingness to learn and grow. And the courage to learn and grow means willingness to step into the unknown, into ambiguity. And everybody hates that. You've got to be in the gray area for a while, not quite sure what's coming next. But that's the area where real potential is. That's where real creativity and innovation lies.
Dusty, I need you. I got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about this some more. More to come on this with Dusty Staub after the break. His new book is called The Heart of Leadership. What do you have to stay with us?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.